Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Yes, we're glad you're here today. Proverbs 27:17 reminds us, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I can't do this thing by myself, don't even want to. I might be willing to attempt it sometimes, but, you know, I know that it would fail utterly.
Well, you wouldn't be sharp.
You can't speak until I introduce you. Tim's in the studio with me today. Good to have you, bro.
It's great to be here, as always.
And what did you just say about if I was in the studio by myself, I wouldn't be sharp?
As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Got it. Yes, I understood.
By you. Yourself.
I'm trying to get you to...
You're a dull boy.
Well, thank you very much. I think highly of yourself, too. Anyway, so we have a topic today. We're talking about staying focused as a new creation in Christ. What does that look like? Is that mean that... in today's world, okay, these are the things that we are so often we're hit with. Yes, we read the Bible and say... And it reminds us of the things that maybe I ought to do or things that would be highly suggested if I wanted a different lifestyle or a different feeling about my life. And yet, what does that look like in today's world? What is the what does that feel like? What, you know, who? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about that here momentarily. That's kind of where we're going to be heading. But in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of an encouragement for the men, you guys who are listening. So, have you got anything in particular? Look, he's already giving me the nod.
There's always something encouraging. And encouragement is an interesting word because it either means help make you feel good or sometimes encouragement might be a little kick in the rear end to say this is what you need to do and you're encouraged to go for it. Mm. In the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I think that is an amazing statement. And one of the reasons that this world can be so challenging is because there's so much bad news. And we think about the bad news a lot. And the more we think about bad news, then that's what's in our head. And Paul says, whatever is true, honorable, lovely, pure, these are things that we should think about. In other words, Jesus and what Jesus has already done in our life and what Jesus has as a plan for our lives and a plan for the world, these are good things to think about. Because we know that Jesus is good, that he's got a good plan. God is good. God says his commands are radiant. You know, when your boss comes and puts a load of work on your desk, and you immediately text your friend and said, my boss just gave me a ton of stuff to do. It is radiant. That's just not the way we think, because it doesn't feel radiant when you get loaded on. But God is radiant. His commands are radiant because he is radiant. And so the more we keep a balance of all this stuff that's coming into our life, this news, and a balance of whatever's true, whatever's lovely, then our lives will have more balance, exactly.
That's almost too simple.
Well, as a math teacher, do love to reduce things to formulas, and I'm not going to quite call that a formula, but, you know, God has been pretty clear about some things.
to some things. That would be like everything if we really pay attention.
Yeah, although, yes, we tend to be able to gray area so much stuff in our world. Things do get murky, and it can be difficult to discern, and it doesn't seem to be clear anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, there is tons that is clear, but, you know, life is messy.
Yeah. So the encouragement would be the fact that being grateful for the opportunity to be able to see this in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of being able to know that, hey, look, I can read, I can comprehend. I may not like what I read. I may not want to comprehend what I've read. I don't want to apply it into my own life, but praise God that I do have a God in my life that has, I see changes in other people's lives as a result of it, but knowing that there is hope for mine. Mm-hmm. And the hope that I can actually pass on what has been given to me also, right?
Very much so.
Okay. All right. Well, let's segue right into, because it's kind of in the same ballpark here. I just want to read something out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse
mm-hmm.
17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And I like the Amplified. That's one of the ones I'm using now a little more often. But just during my most recent studies. Anyway, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. So with that, we're not only as the very first time that we actually accept the Lord, but each and every day we're a new creation in Christ,
mm-hmm.
correct?
We are.
And you're looking for a pen or something to...
Yeah, okay. Bookmark.
Yes, there you go. There you go. So with that, as a new creation, we need to be able... I mean, we want to stay right there, right? I mean, if I think back from the time that I accepted the Lord, okay, as my Savior, okay, and as my Lord at that time, the feelings I had, the mindset that was there, the humbling of my spirit, the security of knowing that He is there, I believed mm-hmm. that
yes.
because of things that were told me, I want on a daily basis to feel that all day long.
In other words, we love mountaintop experiences and we yeah. want to stay there on the mountaintop.
Yes. But unfortunately, you can't stay up there.
Life is lived in the valley.
Yeah. And we have our trips that take us up to the top of the mountain, so to speak. So as a new creation in Christ each and every day, okay, there are things that we can do to help secure that feeling. May not always have that mountaintop feeling, but that sense of knowing that, okay, the reality is I do have responsibilities. I do have to take care of those. I don't have to take care of them. I choose to do so.
We have responsibilities, and we want to be true to those.
And that's what happens as a result of that coming to the Lord and accepting Him, is that He says, hey, listen, there are certain things you need to take care of. Here, you're created for a purpose. And that purpose is that you need to take care of certain things until I say you don't have to do that anymore. Okay?
And so there's all a whole pile of stuff in that. One is He does give us responsibilities and He gives us the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. He has qualified us, one verse says that. And if we are qualified by Him for a job, that means He's going to give us the strength to complete that job.
Yes.
And so then it's the whole battle of how do we submit to that and how do we accept that and mm-hmm. what does that look like? And then the other word you used was feel. We love the feeling of the mountaintop. We love the feeling of power coursing through us. You know, for those who have been involved in athletics, when you're in great shape, you love that feeling. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I just whacked my back and I had this great feeling of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a great feeling.
Right.
But I have some realities that I know. I've hurt my back before. I've recovered. And so there's certain things I know that I have to do physically, and then I need to ask for people to pray with and for me.
Right.
And all these things go into the peace, but in the meantime, what I'm feeling is pain and weakness, but I'm acting in a different way.
Yes.
Because I have some knowledge that's drawing me that direction.
And that knowledge is the hope?
It's hope, absolutely. Right. It's hope that I've gone through this before, and it's hope that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is a good God.
Right.
And that he has good things in store and in plan.
So even as when we – and we often talk about this. I know this in ministry, and I know you, that when we end up talking with somebody who makes that decision of making the Lord – making Jesus our Lord and Savior, of saying, thank you for saving me from this, okay, now comes the boots on the ground type of work. You've got to realize that it's not all going to be this la-la good feeling. It can be, but the reality is that there are still going to be temptations that come into our lives. You're going to be inundated with those, and probably they're going to increase even more. You know, I'd like to think that because we have a Savior in our life, that the enemy, who wants us not to have a relationship with him, is going to do everything he can to continue to get us to fail, as he would see it, right?
Well, the idea of being a new creation means that the old has theoretically passed away.
Right.
But the problem is our mind knows the old and it hangs on to things. And so that how do you accept and become this new creation and let go of the old when you're still in the same place, in the same life? So really the question comes down to what defines you as a person. So if I am defined by my job and then I have a problem with my job, my definition of myself is destroyed.
Yes.
If I'm defined by a relationship, like, for example, my marriage, and my marriage falls apart or something, then I'm crushed because that is the definition of me.
Right.
So whatever it is, if I'm defined by my athletics and then I get hurt, I, you know, how many sports athletes, professional athletes have ripped up a muscle and they're done and
after
it's like
a season or two.
And it's like, then what happens?
Yeah.
And some stories, people recover and have a new career and a new direction and a new life. That is, even in a secular way, that can be a new creation. But when it happens in Christ, that's what we're talking about. If my definition of myself is in Jesus and something happens, I'm still in Jesus. And that's a whole different way of looking at myself. And that's what I think is that the direction of what the new creation piece means.
Because it isn't about how much money we make or how many people that we know. It truly comes down to how we feel about ourselves. And that usually has to do with who we rely on to give us. I've been in the past such a people pleaser that others were my barometer on how I felt about myself. If you liked me, I liked me.
Right.
If you doubted me, I doubt me. If you really didn't like me, if you only knew the things I don't like about me. I'm just, now I'm really bummed out, right? Now, when you live that way, that is, I mean, you're gonna be wishy-washy, as it talks
roller
about
coaster.
James, in the book of James, like the wave tossing back and forth, you know. There's no stability at all, okay?
Up and down every day.
Yes. And so what this relationship with Jesus gives us is an opportunity to be able to hold that beam and to be able to stay on that track and to be able, knowing that at no matter what, you're going to be going through storms, right? We had a pastor used to let us know, said, hey, if you're not currently in a storm, you're leaving a storm, but heading into the next one, right? And in a sense, it's like, okay, that's not to depress you, but the fact is, that's the reality of life.
It is the reality of life.
I mean, we want that mountaintop experience. We want it to stay there. I go on vacation or take a couple of days off. I want to stay right there. This is what I want to do, right here. But no, I believe, and I'll think of it here, that there's a verse somewhere that reminds me that it's not about us being comfortable, okay? And that's not what the Lord has in store for us. He created us as men to be warriors, to be able to help others, right? Mm-hmm. Those who are in our lives, that are currently in our lives, our family, et cetera, et cetera. The responsibilities that we have. It was so often, I mean, the last thing I want to do is sit there. I mean, sometimes in my own walk, and I know I'm not alone with this, I want to just help others over and over and over again. Then I don't have to worry about anything that I have to do, right?
There you go.
And I all of a sudden, before you know it, and I don't want to look at my life and what I've not taken care of and et cetera, et cetera.
Clean your own side of the street.
Exactly, which is all necessary.
Oh, and you know, salvation comes to us individually, but Jesus gave it to the church. It's always in terms of the body of Christ. Rarely does a person read a book and get saved by themselves. It's usually somebody brings them the word, the message, et cetera. And so it's all in relationship. And that those relationships can become burdensome even, but yes, they can also give life. And so it's this incredible balancing act that goes on really every day. And the biggest balancing act is that internal one where we try to realize that we are a new creation each day that we give ourselves to Jesus and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is another of his promises that he would do. You have to accept Christ for that to happen. But then he has said, he has given us the gift of the counselor as a seal of our salvation.
Yes. You know, again, we're reminded so often, we talked about in 2 Corinthians here, but also in the book of Colossians, it talks about chapter 3, it says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So it lets us know right off the bat within the first paragraph here or in the first couple of verses that seeking him is where the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when we get together with somebody, I know I've done it myself, I've done it with you, run some things by you. I'm going, I just have no idea. And then you end up saying something really irritating to me like, have you sought God today about this? You know, and those are the things where, again, I end up putting the God of my understanding, Jesus, in a small box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
There's a big issue right there.
You know, that all of a sudden I'm going, but he can do all these other things, but he can't do this? Well, come on, Raul. You know better, you know, and I do. But the fact is that that's where our head takes us. I think sometimes I must enjoy feeling negative
down on yourself, down, et cetera.
Yes, et cetera, et cetera. All of those type of things when we know that that is not necessarily where he wants us to be. So let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about some of these things. Let's get a little more precise. Let's talk about whether it's in our home with our relationships with our those that we love, or those that love us. Maybe we feel like we don't love them right now. Our work situation, where our responsibilities lie. How does this affect that? How do we need to look at these things? And what about, do I really need a friend in my life? Do I need someone else? Can I just do this by myself? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum. Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Tim and Raul, and we're talking about being renewed on a daily basis, but also as a the simple fact is that what does this all look like in today's world? And Tim, you and I, we discussed this at the break. We talked to before we got going on this sort of thing. In today's world, the way things are happening so quickly, so many things, it's disconcerting. It's depressing. It's like it's fearful. It's anxiety runs amok in so many people. Mm-hmm. We just did a little trip. Debbie and I went up to Canada and come back, and as we were waiting for a ferry in Canada, they put you in a almost like a compound where right. there's a 6-8 foot fence around you and then barbed wire on top of that. And you're waiting. You've already gone through basically part of the customs deal. And you're sitting there and you're going, and people are walking by near the waterfront in front of us that are
on the other side of the fence.
On the other side of the fence. And they're in freedom.
Yeah.
We're kind of stuck. We can't go there, okay?
Right.
And it's kind of like you sit there and you just go, oh, my goodness. You know, it just gets you thinking about the way the world is and so many how fear is around every corner mm-hmm. and every thought and every action that we take and of not having control over the people, places, and things around us. That can actually bring about a lot of anxiety and, create some challenges in our lives, and especially when – you know they're going to affect you.
And fear is in personal situations, whether it be a relationship that's strained or a economic situation in your own family or the world news like you were mentioning. There is, I think truly, this is one of the main weapons of the enemy to get under our skin and
yes.
to create that same emotion and feeling in us mm-hmm. is this whole fear piece mm-hmm. because we know all these verses that are suitable for framing verses. God is love and
yes.
perfect love casts out all fear. And we've heard or we can even quote them, but we don't feel them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to fight feeling with truth.
Right.
And that's the battle that show is about every single day. How do you fight feeling with truth?
But so often we end up with our experiences in today's world. We, no matter whether it's a work situation or a home situation, maybe it's a relational situation, we sometimes deal with those by not wanting to deal with them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretending there's not really a problem.
Yep.
And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to go there. Just get me another six pack or you know, whatever it might
or
be.
Or just walk away.
Yeah, wherever that is. And that's not what the Bible reminds us that we ought to be doing, you know. The book of James, he kicks it off right off the bat that consider it pure joy.
My brothers, when you
face trials of many kinds, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there to go, what?
Yeah.
Joy? I don't know. But we've got to remember the things that we have done at one time, okay? Jesus in Revelation, he talks about in the book of Revelation in chapter 2, I believe it is, that you have forgotten, I hold this against you, you have forgotten your first love.
Yep, that came into my mind a little while ago when you were talking.
Sitting there, you forgot what it was, the reason that you came to me.
Right.
And you did come to me. And the world, with all the distractions and everything else that are going on, has taken you, your thought life, your mind, other places. And it's not focused back on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what it comes. I mean, I'm doing an ad-libbing here on that verse, but it is it's so true.
Well, and the other thing is to realize all these nice verses, nice. However you want to talk yes. about them, what we have, if we, the more we learn about the Word of God, you understand that Paul or James or whoever's writing these things, they are living in a rough and rugged time.
Yeah, we think we have it rough.
And politically, there's this rough that makes our whole situation look positively virtuous.
Your people wanted to stone them and to kill them.
And Paul was stoned.
Yes.
And he was left for dead.
Yes.
And crawled out of the stone pit and yes. people nursed him back to health and God wasn't done with him yet. And then he's sitting in a Roman prison when he says, count it all joy.
Yes.
And all these things, they are not verses, and the Bible is not written by people on a mountaintop. We talked about mountaintop mm-hmm. experiences who don't know what trials are. Mm-hmm. These are written by people in the midst of trials that most of us can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're written in tribulation, but somehow they have found joy and peace and contentment mm-hmm. in this setting. There's our goal. We know that it's possible because it already happened.
Yes.
If we read biographies of, you know, the saints of the past, there's people have gone through all kinds of crazy and horrible things and then ended up writing statements of great joy.
Right.
Peace like a river. All these things.
So often we question ourselves, how should we actually move forward on some of this stuff? Okay. Let's just say in a sense that there's a situation at home. Maybe you're not talking with your wife. Maybe she's upset with you. And maybe in your heart, you agree with her that you are wrong, but you're not willing to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That your pride is so huge that there's just not a way I'm going to let her win this. Well, stop trying to win this. Okay?
Right.
She's not the competitor. She's not the enemy. She is your helpmate, believe it or not. According to the scripture, that's who she is. That doesn't mean that she's going to do whatever you want. She is focused on the Lord just as you are. But you both have different purposes. And when we actually realize that sort of thing and start to see that, okay, there's a reason why I think differently than my wife does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. It's not necessarily, if both of you thought the same way, felt the same way, and enjoyed the same things and agreed on everything, one of you would be unnecessary.
Right. And, you know, there's a famous verse used at weddings along a lot about the man and the woman being two strands and then a cord of three strands cannot mm-hmm. easily be broken. And we want to say that God is the third strand. And there's a lot of ways to interpret that. But one of the things you need to note is that if there are strands that are all woven together, they're all still there. They didn't blend into one.
Yes.
They are still separate individual strands, yes. and they all provide strength.
Yes.
And so part of our problem in a lot of these situations is, how is this going to strengthen me? How is mm-hmm. God going to strengthen me through this?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, whether it's a relational thing at home or at work, because this can be another famous verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to God's purpose. Well, how is this going to work towards good, towards my strengthening? And again, the person who wrote this, a lot of the times when he was writing these things, he was in jail. Mm-hmm. And jail there was not, there's no rights for prisoners in Rome.
Right. And so often, I mean, I used to use the same statement when I'm trying to justify how I feel. Okay. When I sit there and I go, that Paul, okay, I'm not Paul. You're right. I'm not Paul. But Paul was also a murderer. He was a sinner of all sorts. Okay. And God, Jesus himself said, I want this guy. He's chosen. And he had his Damascus experience. Okay. That all of a sudden he come to realize after a couple of days of being blind of what it is that actually is taking place in his life. And then he realizes God's love for him. And you know what? That's part of what I believe we miss or forget about, of God's love for us. And if we don't experience that, if we don't recall that, if we don't try to muster it up, okay?
Think about these things.
Yes. Then all of a sudden we're stuck in our own mind in that same muck and mire, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And where all of a sudden, I mean, we don't see any hope. And all of a sudden, that hope that was a little glimmer all of a sudden becomes a really small little speck, right?
Yes.
And then as a result of that, we start becoming defensive and we start relying on who to take care of it? Myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I start relying on me, hey, I know from my own past experiences where that has gotten me. And just because I know Jesus a little bit more than I used to doesn't mean it's going to be any better. Okay.
You're still the same you when you rely on yourself.
Yes.
We are, we desire to be, and we are being transformed daily more into the image of Christ. So I hope that when I go back to relying on me, it's not the same as it used to be, but it's still only human strength. And we face not only a supernatural enemy, but we face a world with way too much information. There's no way to process it all, and there's so much coming at us. It really takes a supernatural pressure on the inside to deal with all the pressure that comes on the outside.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's take our last break here, then we'll come back. And let's continue talking on this path and bring in some of our own experiences and some of the things I believe that could be application for our brothers to be able to put into their daily life that would help to secure that recollection of what it used to feel like. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Cain's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Cain's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, CanesLawnAndGarden.com. CanesLawnAndGarden.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I've spent my whole life getting it all wrong, and I sure could use your help, cause from now on I wanna be a good man. I do like I should, man. I wanna be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I wanna be a strong man and admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I wanna be.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Tim and Raul, and what a great song. I just wanna be the man that he wants me to be. And you know, there's times when we don't necessarily want to do that because the flesh so desires comfort and pleasure and all these things. We recollect what the sin has done for us in the past. And yet, brother, we don't see, we don't walk it, think it through what would happen as a result of going back to the vomit, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. And, but,
sin wouldn't be enticing if it didn't taste good at first.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we were actually sitting here and thinking, okay, what's the best way of being able to go about this, to be able to give suggestions or on what we have done. Of course, first and foremost, we believe that seeking God with everything that we have. Whenever I feel like I am challenged with, you know, I feel my faith is decreasing or it's not there or it's not real, I think at that time I need to really take a look at, you know, what is it that I know that has always worked in the past? And one is to be able to hear or receive the hope, okay? Mm-hmm. And that can be done a couple different ways. One is through reading His Word, which is what we're going to do here in a moment. Another way is hearing it from other brothers, okay?
Yes.
From someone else, you know, asking them, do you ever come across this sort of thing? Do you ever feel like this? Have you ever blah, 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 blah? And you know what? When you get a brother in Christ who is actually willing to share that sort of thing, you're going to be feeling different than you were before after you've listened to what he had to say.
You know, in Hebrews it says, do not give up meeting together.
Yes.
And a lot of people just think that means you got to go to church.
Yeah.
But the meeting together with another brother where you can have a more intimate relationship where they can know you and know your temptations is even more, I think, what that's talking about. It's talking about relationship.
Yeah.
And you can go to a big church, you can go there and not have relationship with anybody. But
you can get lost there.
Yeah. But if you're in a smaller group, especially, I think men all need to be in a small group of men.
Yes.
Where another man looks you in the eye and says, how's it going?
Yes.
Then you hear the word of Christ through them, and it comes in a whole different way.
Right. I just want to say, I want to make sure that I'm not stepping on anybody's toes when I say you go to a large church, you get lost there. It doesn't mean lost as in I can't find Jesus. The fact is that there are so many people, so large, you have to be intentional about connecting up. And that's what this whole thing is that
yes.
we're going to be talking about, being intentional. You know, because if you're not, if you just wait for somebody to come up to you to ask you, you're going to do what you would normally do. Because you'll go back to your own default button, say, no, I'm fine. Everything's good. Thank you very much. We're just visiting or whatever that excuse might be. So the larger churches, every church body has a purpose. And I like to believe that they're all sending and pointing everybody toward Jesus at one point or another.
Yes.
So.
The word gives us direction.
Yes.
And so what we need to do in these conversations with others and in prayer and by ourselves is figure out what it means. So Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. There's a pretty short forward sentence, and now we need to figure out how does that work out in my home, in my work, when I'm driving, and somebody cuts me off. How can I let love be genuine? It doesn't seem like it fits when I'm driving.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that really a love place? it just seems awkward.
Wait a minute. You've been reading my mail here? What's going on?
How about when I'm at work with my – I mean, if my boss is a woman, the word love seems awkward to use. And if my boss is a man, it seems like the word love
really
is awkward to use. Mm-hmm. But let love be genuine. One of the verses that comes right after this is outdo one another in showing honor.
Yes, yes.
That is a way of doing the love, showing honor.
Mm. So what is honor? What does that look like? What do you think that looks like when you're honoring your work mate, in a sense?
Right. Somebody that I work with, one of the things that I have and I'm going to just go ahead and think of people that have been challenging at work, because the ones that are really easy to work with where we think alike, it's not a challenge to show honor.
Right.
But there are some that I have had many disagreements with.
Mm-hmm.
And to listen to them and be very present and actually listen to them and be able to respond to what they said shows honor that what I'm valuing what they say.
Yes.
And sometimes I totally disagree with what they're saying, and that is real work.
Yes.
And I have to be praying under my, in the back of my mind while I'm listening to them to try and be able to do this.
Yes.
But I'm not going to convince them by just turning and walking away that I'm right. I mean, that's stupid.
You know, one of the things I need to do when I'm in that same situation is, and what I've done in the past, and that's because I have this controlling attitude that as soon as you say something I disagree with, all of a sudden everything you say after that doesn't sound like English. It sounds like wah, 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 wah.
Charlie Brown adults.
Yeah, exactly. And so all of a sudden, I'm not really listening. I'm just waiting for you to pause long enough so that I can say what I want to say.
Bestow on me the truth.
Right. And if you're doing the same thing that I'm doing internally, there's no
communication.
There's no communication. All you have is just the vibes. And when you have just the vibes, guess what? There is no way that anything's going to take place positive there.
No. So if I'm going to love this person, if I'm going to show them honor, I'm going to listen to them, I'm going to keep my tone of voice and my body language that demonstrates that I respect their humanness. Mm-hmm. I may not respect their decisions. You don't have to respect the decision because we know people make decisions that are ungodly.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what – I mean, they're just unwise economically in our business. That's a stupid thing to do. But how do we, in our body language and our attitude, say, I respect you as the person. Let's keep it about the topic because I want to disagree with you about the topic. I don't want to disagree with you about who you are.
Mm. And that's where, again, back to what does this love look like, you know? This is almost the same type of love that we are to try to strive for as an agape love that the Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. How do we love our boss who I don't want to love him? Or you talk about honor, because that's really honoring is loving in
yes.
a sense. And as a result of that, it's the way that the Lord looks at us. All these years before we became aware of his presence in our life, that he actually wanted us, okay? He chose us. As a result of that, because of our sins and everything, he still loved us.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us so deeply. And now this is how we are to look at others who we don't necessarily get along with. I need to love them. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, that's where you were explaining about honoring them, giving them the attention, actually paying attention to them. Not trying to wait to see if I can say something that makes me higher than them or makes me more intelligent than them or has me, you know.
And so a lot of this is if I understand that I'm a new creation and that my identity is in Christ, then my identity isn't in the idea that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether for me as a teacher, it's a teaching move or practice or a particular lesson. I wrote a lesson and he did it and he came back into that stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that insult me as a person? Well, if I'm a new creation in Christ, he's telling me that that idea didn't work. Well, no big deal. It's just an idea. But if I have owned that idea and it's my identity, then he's telling me that I don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my problem.
Yeah.
That's not his problem.
Yeah.
Even if he meant it that way, that's not the issue. The issue is as a new creation, I am so centered in Christ. Well, there's where my brother comes in because mm-hmm. I'm not always.
Mm-hmm.
And I need somebody to encourage me to say, you know what? That's not about you. That's about the idea. How do you honor him and let love be genuine, even in that setting?
Mm.
It's not easy. It gets messy because we just plain disagree at times.
So some of the things that it talks about in Romans 12 where we are at right now, you talk about the honoring, but it also mentions in here, and this is a great place for you guys to actually read after you get done listening to this podcast, that you actually open up Romans 12 and read all of 12. It will remind you of things that sit there and go, okay, these are the suggestions or commands, depending on how you want to look at it, of things to be able, your life is not necessarily where you'd like it to be. This may be the way that you'll find might be uncomfortable because that's what you're used to. But that's part of what this awakening is, right? Of this awakening. That we are to bless those who persecute you. Oh, how do you do that? That's forgiveness. You know, forgiving those who've actually done something to you, whether it was by accident or intentional.
And read the second half of that verse.
Bless and do not curse them.
So not only are we trying to like be patient. I mean, I heard in the first phrase, it's like bless those who persecute you. It sounds like be patient and ignore them almost.
Yes.
But then it says, bless and do not curse. Well, how many times somebody's on my case, I can be nice to their face, and when I turn around, I have a string of words going through my head that is not pleasant. And I want to make sure that those thoughts don't come out loud because they would not help the situation at all. There's an attitude that needs to change. Jesus said at the beginning, his very first words were to repent. Well, that means turn and go a new direction. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit as the indwelling to be able to be a new creation each day.
You know, the very last verse, I just want to go there because we only have just a few moments here. It says, do not overcome by evil.
Try that again.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so two wrongs don't make a right is what we're trying to do here. That's really what it comes down to. But that if nothing else, that we ask the Lord or thank him for the grace that he gives us to give to others, of the acceptance of who they are, that they are also loved by him as we are. Now, I tell you what, there's so much work that needs to be done in this whole area of coming to know the Lord and being a new creation in Christ and staying steadfast in that arena completely. So
it is a lifelong challenge.
Yes. Well, brother, I tell you what, this has been a good topic. We barely scratched the surface on it, but hopefully we've given you something that you can use. Would you pray for our brothers who are listening?
And continuing with Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, Jesus says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Father, help us to be reconcilers of you to each other and to the God above. Amen.
Amen.